In this podcast, we will be talking with Annie Warmke, owner of Blue Rock Station, Philo, Ohio.
I'm Annie Warmke from Blue Rock Station, LLC, and I'm the farmer and the goat herder and a lot of other things, chief bottle washer and chef and nurturer and internship mentor and lots of things, tour guide, cheesemaker, mother to many. And I like to tell people I've been walking to this place all my life, and I love it every day. I feel like I'm being punished if I have to be gone. And the best part is really my life with goats. And I teach goat college because I want people to understand some of the basics and natural care of goats and to understand the incredible job that they can perform.
So where did you learn all of this stuff about goats?
Well, the thing about goats is you never quite know enough. You have to keep working on it pretty much every day. But my first lesson in life about goats was when I was about 18, I suppose. And my father came home one day with a goat, a very pregnant Nubian that he'd won in a poker game. And we had a barn, and it didn't really have any stalls. I remember banging my head trying to clean up boards and all that because I was just panic-stricken, even not knowing anything about goats, and probably had never even been next to a goat in my life until that day. And so we put her in there, and it was very cold, and it was clear that she was going to have babies, and I said to him, I'm very worried. I feel like we need to bring her in the house. We had a really nice basement. We could have just taken her down there. And he's like, no, she knows what to do. She'll be all right. So the next morning when I got up, she'd had beautiful, healthy twins, and they were frozen to death. And that just crushed me. And to this day, if I'm working with animals and somebody says they just make this terrible mistake, they'll say, they'll be all right. That is my cue to go back and look. So that was my very first, very harsh lesson in the goat world.
So you didn't start out with goats. I mean, you're saying that you had them as a kid, but then what did you do as far as education afterwards?
Well, learning about goats, well, I spent a lot of time learning about human beings before I ever learned any more about goats. And so about 13 years ago, we moved back to Ohio to the farm that we had been cultivating. And I went to a Weston A. Price Foundation workshop that was part of Ohio's Organic Farm Association annual conference. And when I was sitting there and listening to them talk about the value of raw milk, and it just hit me, you know, this is one thing I could do for my family. It combines everything I love. It combines animals. It combines my need to have more knowledge, which maybe that wasn't the best part because I didn't start out with enough knowledge. And it also gave me a product that I thought this could be very helpful. And so it took me a while to find the goats. And actually, I started buying raw milk from a farmer, which is totally illegal in the state of Ohio. And I traveled 1 hour one way to go to this really amazing, and I say amazing, not in a good way, farm. But the woman was very clean with stainless steel and glass with however she handled the goats. And they'd never really been outside. They lived in a barn. And so after a couple of months, I decided when the goats started kidding for the spring season that I would buy a Sanin goat. She was part Sanin and part Alpine. And we named her Eleanor Rigby, and she had two babies, and we brought her home. And she was the start of the goat herd at Blue Rock Station. And I will say she was the most brilliant goat, the most knowing goat. She was a great partner to me. She was made of silly putty, thank God, because I might have killed her off a few times, like when I painted the inside of the barn stall because I wanted it to look nice and it was pink. And I came back after going to get a drink of water, and she and both of her babies looked like they had had somebody paint pink lipstick on their lips where they had rubbed against the pink. And I was like, oh my God, I've killed my goats and they haven't even been here a week. But she didn't die. She didn't get diarrhea. She did fine. And she was with me until the ripe old age of 14. And she waited for me that day. It was a blizzard. It was a horrible day. And when I came home, being Eleanor, she ate her ration of food because she was going to eat it no matter what. And then she said, I'm going to die. And she laid down and she died. And she was a great teacher, a really great teacher. So I'd say most of the things I've learned, Eleanor Rigby taught me. And then online, looking at things online and reading lots and lots of books, which led me to eventually write my own book. But there are a lot of great people out there. Fir Meadows, they've taught me a lot. That's a farm that does a lot of natural homeopathic and essential oils and things like that. So lots of really great, especially women out there doing a lot of things with livestock and particularly goats in a natural, more natural way. And so I've learned a lot from just letting other people mentor me.
So what would you say is your favorite goat story?
Oh my word. I don't know. There's so many amazing things that have happened over the course of, you know, more than a decade of being a partner with goats. I can't think of anything in particular. Mostly what comes to mind is all the bad things that happen. Like, you know, when Tootie, I guess the thing for me is there were all these sort of psychic moments in my goat herding career. For things would just call me to the barn and I would show up. And there was one day Tootie, who was one of the main dairy goats, hanging from the goat manger. And she had lost her footing, and I don't have any idea how I picked that goat up and got her head out of the wedge of that. Guinea, I don't know what made me go, but I went walking up towards one of the smaller barns out in the field, and I could hear her then when I got close screaming bloody murder. And she had eaten a hole in the wall and got her collar stuck, and she was strangling to death. And fortunately there were other people when I started screaming bloody murder that brought a knife, and we saved her life. I think that's the lesson of goats, is, you know, whatever's possible is what's going to happen, and you can't really foresee it. You just have to think like a goat when you're setting up housing or you're working with them in various ways, with fencing and rock climbing and all those things. You just really have to think like a goat, because if it's possible, they'll make it happen.
So what do you think is your best advice for someone starting out in the goat industry?
Well, everybody needs a mama. And if we keep that in mind, it tells us a lot of things. First of all, it says that those goats that are kidding need to have somebody that is there as their partner helping them, which is what every mama should be. And those kids are going to need you to get your job right so that they can get healthy and stay healthy. And also that there has to be kindness and respect for that animal and the job that they are able to do for you. And there are a lot of things. We developed this poster and a t-shirt that say the goat guide for life. And the number one thing is everybody needs a mama. So I think that guides me a lot in how I work with animals.
What do you think the future is in making a living out of goats?
Well, I am a big believer that this country's in a lot of trouble, and I think that the solution is local, local, local. And I think goats have a huge role to play in that, because they are the most widely kept animal in the world. Everything about them is a product that can make money if we just think about it in that way. Even their poo is is quite valuable for creating a tea for plants. So I think my dream, maybe this isn't the future, but my dream is that the value of that animal will be recognized. The partnership that it can, those animals can play with farmers will become something important to the industry of dairy and also meat. And the value of that lean meat, I'm not a meat eater myself, but I can see, because that animal, goats, are so great, so much better for the land and how they work the land. And they're also great at cleaning orchards and, you know, gleaning forests and eating poison ivy. And they just have an amazing amount of resource that they can bring to farms. And plus, I have such great respect for their intelligence and their ability to figure things out and drive me crazy. And so I just think they have a big role to play in the future, because they're a small animal and smaller is always better, and they're intelligent.
What's your favorite tool that you use, probably on a daily basis, when you work with your goats?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, one of the luxuries I have now is water at the barn. That's a really big deal. I mean, I've carried water for years and years and years, and so that's a huge tool. But I would say the right kind of bucket. You know, one of the challenges that women have that are not really tall or have a lot of upper body strength, which would be most of us, is that we don't really have the luxury of tools that fit what we need. We don't have gloves that fit us. We don't have the right boots. We often don't even have, like, if we want to buy Carhartts, we can have pink ones, you know? It's like, what? So I think the buckets, the size of the buckets, the fact that you have a good infrastructure, and I finally have that for myself, the latch that I got for Christmas that opens and closes so easily at the gate for when I'm bringing goats in and taking goats out of the milk room. So there are many things, just simple little tools. It's not some highfalutin thing. It's just getting the tool, the right tool for the job.
So what would you... So what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Well, that makes me think back a long time ago when I was in my mid-20s, and I was at my grandma's house, and she had this pillow that she had done needlepoint on, and it said, "Bloom where you're planted." And at that time, I thought that was such bullshit, you know, and she said, "No, this is a guide for life." And over the course of my life, I feel like that has been a driving force. No matter where I ended up, I was going to figure out how to make something really great happen for myself, my family, my friends, people around me. And I think that's been a really good basic guide that has given me a lot of good in this life.
All right, thank you. Thanks to Annie Wormke for sharing her ideas and expertise.
Technical assistance and photography is provided by Kat Harrier and Devin Kennedy. This program is a part of a collaboration between Rural Action and NCSARE Research and Education. In future podcasts, we'll be interviewing a variety of people who are connected to the specialty dairy product industry, plus talk about how to make a living by supplementing a dairy business with other products produced by the animal. Marketing, branding, animal welfare, standards and regulations, and more will be covered in upcoming podcasts. For more information, visit www.ruralaction.org. Copyright 2018 by Rural Action and Blue Rock Station, LLC.